Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hello, hello, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode 190 here, and thank you. Thank you for being here. Consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you're absolutely wonderful, and I am grateful to have you. Today's interesting, and today's personal, because we have been recording, and by we, it's me, I'm the global we here, for years. I started this podcast in October of 2021, and this is now the 190th episode, which is a pretty momentous milestone in perseverance and in doing what it is I said I was going to do, even if it didn't work out. And I had the perseverance and the gumption and the stick-to-itiveness. And today's episode is, what if it doesn't work out? And so I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about what happens to you when you have a thought, an idea, a daydream, and it doesn't work out, when reality doesn't meet your expectation. When I started this podcast, I had no idea what was going to happen. I had some very kind of far-fetched daydreams, and then I had some very practical ideas. The very practical ideas were, I was going to really kind of hone in and streamline my thoughts around slow living. And I knew already it didn't mean that you had to pack it all up and go live off-grid in the country and become a sheep herder in order to live slowly. And I also had the idea that you didn't need to already be retired in order to live slow and slow down and start incorporating some of the ideas of slow living. When I first got started, I knew eventually I wanted to write a slow living book, and I wanted to coach, and I wanted to help as many people from all around the world as I possibly could. And many of those things came true. Well, actually, all of the things that I just listed just then and there did come true. I didn't want to just be the crockpot lady for the rest of my life. So that helped. And it really has helped now, because the Crockpot site is on life support, and I really should just turn the plug. So that site that I made with no money down that used to garner up to $1,000 a day, I just refreshed my ad revenue. I made $12.32 yesterday. So that is not... That's not great money. And it's actually not even paying to keep the lights on that site. So I should probably pull the plug. But as far as writing a slow living book, yes, I needed to prove to book publishers that there was interest in slow living in order for book publishers to take a chance on me. And so I did prove that. As far as expanding my reach and my audience, yes, the listeners, you are coming and growing. And this podcast is in the top 2% according to Listen Notes. And if you ever want to goof around on listen notes and see where podcasts are ranked. You can do that for free. And that's actually how I find guests from the podcast and how we do podcast swaps and that kind of stuff. So that is interesting. I've met a lot of amazing people. But this episode is called, But What If It Doesn't Work Out? Some of my daydreams were very far-fetched, really far-fetched. Fame, fortune, household name, being in magazines, a media empire, being the next Joanna Gaines or Oprah or Ree Drummond. It's funny to say that out loud because it's sometimes kind of embarrassing. But those are fun daydreams to have. They're kind of like winning the lottery daydreams where it feels so good in your body to have those kind of daydreams, because then you kind of go down this rabbit hole of who am I going to help? How can this help then set up our family for generations to come and create trust funds? And then inside of those trust funds, different trust funds. And wouldn't it be fun to gift my friends lavish all-inclusive vacations and pay off mortgages and all of these really kind of pie in the sky daydreams? I am a huge daydreamer, always been a daydreamer. I vividly remember, I don't know, really young and being in the clouds when all of the rest of the kids in class were turning their guided reading book to the correct page. And I was off in la la land. Looking back on it now, it was probably markers of ADHD that I didn't know that I had. And at the time, nobody was really paying attention to that. And I was just a daydreamer. And so if I looked at my daydreams as some sort of real tangible goals and only focused on all of the stuff that didn't come true, I would be really sad. I would be depressed. I'd feel disappointed and I'd feel like I was a failure. And so that's why I tell myself and I tell my coaching clients all the time, I want you to feel all the feels, but then act on the facts. And think about that when it comes to your own life. Have you ever thought that since your daydreams didn't come true, it meant that you failed or that you didn't try hard enough? Hustle culture says that you can do anything you want to do. And if you fail, it's your fault. It's because you didn't try hard enough. You didn't work hard enough. You didn't hustle hard enough. You got up at 5 a.m. every day to work out and you still don't have six-pack abs. That's your fault. And you should have gotten up at 4 a.m. and you should have crash dieted and you should have started injecting testosterone and taking creatine, and you must not have wanted it hard enough. And it's your fault. You are the common denominator in all of your string of failures. So it's you. Wow. Even just saying those words as an example, I felt my heart rate go up. I felt my jaw tighten. And so this is the Slow Living Podcast. And I am your friend. And I'm your coach. And I'm your mentor. And I'm your guide. And I love you unconditionally. And there is nothing wrong with you. Nothing. And sometimes things just don't go according to your daydreams. And that's okay. And it just is what it is. Life has ups and downs and all arounds. And you can't do A and always expect B. Marketers, internet bros, people who are trying to sell you things are always trying to make it seem like only if you knew this secret, you too could be a success. And only if you took this particular supplement, then you too could have your dream big and bod. And maybe, Maybe there's some tweaking and some stuff that you can do. Maybe deep down inside, you know, you're not putting in the work. But if you are putting in the work and your daydreams aren't coming true, this is the episode for you. This is the episode where I'm going to point out that it's part of the human experience to be disappointed. And I want you to acknowledge those feelings and hug yourself. And if you need to take some time licking your wounds, do it. And then slowly, steadily, thoughtfully, methodically, go back to the peace pyramid and start making tangible goals, little goals, not SMART goals, hate those, but goals that you can check off, that you can do, and that count. And so one of the reasons I really wanted to record this today is there's feelings of disappointment in me right now. This past week, I took a long, hard look at the business bank account and realized that I couldn't justify paying for social media managing right now. All of the software that I use renewed, and it's expensive. And advertisers, as I mentioned earlier from the podcast site, are pulling out advertising dollars because we're going into probably a period of recession, and just money in the business is a little tight. And that's okay, because that's actually one of the reasons why I have a day job right now. And this business is not keeping the lights on in the house. We are fine in all of the ways. I had some pretty lofty retirement goals, as did Adam. And I have fun with this. Like this is fun. This is ice cream to me, to be able to talk to you, to be able to email with you. And when I'm lucky enough to get on a coaching call, that's ice cream. There are many people who are quitting stable day jobs, maybe because they're a little antsy or a little bored, and going all in on entrepreneurism. I recently, and by recently, we're in May of 25, in February of 24, so it was a long time ago, went to The Blocks, and that was a conference and a training ground for would-be entrepreneurs, and met an awful lot of entrepreneurs. And I've been in touch with them, and their revenue also is down right now. And it's because of the looming recession. And so many of them feel like failures because they needed to get a day job or they needed to shutter their business. And they're still in the licking their wounds phase. And that's devastating when your dream didn't come true the way that you wanted. And I don't want to dismiss any of that. And I'm proud of anyone and everyone who tries to do anything entrepreneurial for themselves. There's a reason why that statistic is like 95% of all businesses fail, or whatever that statistic is. It just is what it is. In our own small town, there's been some restaurants who have needed to fold and close their doors. If that you're in that state and you're looking at the numbers, I want you to be realistic. I don't want you to keep things going unnecessarily. It's better probably financially and mentally for your mental health to pull that plug and move on and remember those good times instead of continuously draining money and mental anguish over and over again. Because then every time you wake up and are doing the same thing over and over again, and it's just not working. As we all know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a miracle, expecting something is technically the definition of insanity if you're expecting something new. And then people, depending on their work ethic, on their religious beliefs, on their law of attractiveness, think, well, I didn't believe in myself hard enough. And so the law of attraction, the universe didn't repay me, or I didn't pray correctly. And so God, Jesus didn't help me, didn't save me, didn't give me the intellect, the intuition, the next thing. And if it's work ethic, it's hustle culture. I didn't work hard enough. I screwed up somewhere. I should have worked all night. I should have done this better. And it's constant beating up. And so today, I just want you to know that you're not alone. And it's just, please believe me when I say that it's part of the human experience, to go through disappointments, to go through setbacks. And all you can do is, when you're ready, to take the next step. But taking the next step when you're not ready will feel phony baloney in your body, and it will lead to panic and feelings of anxiety. That's why I hate that phrase, fake it till you make it, because your brain and your body aren't in alignment and it just doesn't feel good. But if you can hit that pause button and really be thoughtful and think on it, you'll get a little inkling. You'll get an idea. You'll get a nudge. And that's how you know deep down inside, when you follow the slow, the simply look only within methodology and thought process and mindset, you'll know that the next best thing is for you to take that step. We're in May, and May, we just had Mother's Day, and there's a lot of people, unfortunately, who are disappointed with their Mother's Day. And I know this because they write to me, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm not telling you that your expectations were off. Only you know. I also want to point out that this is graduation season for a whole bunch of high schoolers and college age kids. And with that, there's a whole bunch of disappointment that comes up. There are kids who did not get into their dream schools, even though they quote unquote did everything right. And those feelings of disappointment are valid, and it's not fair. It's not fair that you worked and you have over a 4.0 and you did all the extracurriculars and you wrote really good essays and you did the volunteer work and you still didn't get in to the school you wanted. Colleges are shifting constantly. It is not a level playing field, and it's not fair, and it's not right. And I want you to really kind of be kind to yourself and not beat yourself up in your brain if you're in that stage, or if you're parenting a child in that stage. One of the worst things you can do when someone is having a hard time is to tell them it's okay. So it's not okay. When things go wrong, it's not okay. You can say it will be okay, but don't dismiss those feelings of disappointment. Don't say, well, at least you got into here, here, and there. So your student already knows those things, and they will come up with those thoughts and ideas themselves. It's sort of like when someone is really disappointed with a haircut, and you just trying say, well, it'll go back. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Sorry, don't say bad words, but no kidding, hair grows back. But when you look in the mirror and you're sad, feel those feelings. Be sad. Let your child have those emotions. There's a new form of parenting that I read about in, I don't know, the Times or the New Yorker or something. And they talk about like steamroll parenting. And it's the idea that you're so hesitant for your kid to ever feel feelings of failure or disappointment or sadness, that parents are trying to steamroll all obstacles out of their way so they just won't have those feelings. And please, please look within. If that's you right now, stop. Stop. You're doing a disservice to your kids. Kids need to need to have toughness and grit and perseverance. So when they didn't get into the college of their dreams, they already have evidence that they've stumbled before and they got back up. So please pay attention to that. And it happens at a really young age. And it's tricky because sometimes parents go the complete other way and they want them so tough that when they fall down and they're bleeding, they're like, eh, you're fine. Get over it. So no, there's a happy medium. It is not a black or white world. We live in many, many nuances and shades of lots and lots of colors. And both things can be true. You can help guide and raise and mentor children and teach perseverance and grit. But don't dismiss them when they're super sad or hurt. And then also don't try and keep them from ever being super sad or hurt. Parenting will always, always, always be the hardest job you will ever do if you're doing it right. And that's really tricky. I also want to talk a little bit on dating and marriage and kids. If you're in your late 20s, 30s, early 40s, and this is you, and you're looking around, and what you have does not match up to your daydreams, and you don't have the perfect marriage, and you don't have a great relationship with your kids, and all of that kind of stuff. If your reality isn't matching your daydreams, zoom out a little. And see what it is you're trying to achieve here. In that daily journaling worksheet, which you can download at any time, it's on the website. The first question is, how do you want to feel today? So if the idea is to feel content and to feel at peace, you can get to those feelings without exactly encapsulating a specific daydream. For me, and with my writing and with the different things, is I wanted to feel proud of myself. I wanted to feel content. And I've absolutely achieved that and continuously do those things, regardless of whether or not I had this pie in the sky daydream. This is the same when it comes to kids on the sports field. Chances are you're not going to raise an Olympian. You're not going to raise a professional ball player of some sort. And you're probably not going to have a child with a full ride scholarship to some university because at age 8 or 9, they seem to be good at a specific sport. Maybe, but don't pin all hopes, dreams, and future life decisions on that. Because stuff happens. Kids get broken. There's plenty of kids that I've known who thought they were going to be a star baseball pitcher and then ended up with a rotator cuff or injury and needing shoulder surgery. Wow, every time I say shoulder surgery, I lisp a little bit and some like spit comes in the corner of my mouth. It's so gross. It's hard to say. But that's not fair. It's just not fair to put those kind of hopes and dreams on a young kid. So pay attention to that. It makes me cringe whenever I hear parents say, this'll go in your sizzle reel for your college scholarship. So you decide if that's the only way, you think your kids can get into college, pay attention. And look at those 529s and make sure that you're not setting your kids up for major, massive disappointment and them thinking that they failed you because they haven't lived up to your expectations and dreams and hopes of them. For you, for your health, what's the next milestone age? Are you disappointed and where you are, and you thought you would have a specific number in the bank account by then, or a specific physique when you look in the mirror, or you thought maybe your career, your business, your life would be a certain way and it's not. Okay. Pause. See the trajectory that you're on and see if you'll get to wherever it is you want to go if you keep on this trajectory. And if it's not good, okay, this is your wake-up call. This is me lovingly and helpfully and kindly telling you that there's nothing wrong with you, but maybe it's time to course correct. There's lots of material in the archives of this podcast, lots of different things that I've written on stephanieoday.com. And then it's all laid out for you in the new Slow Living book, where I walk you step by step through the peace pyramid. And you can daydream, but then you also can set kind of realistic milestone goals for you to get to. With the idea that if you have an idea and you do your idea over and over and over again in a consistent way, you'll get to wherever it is you want to go. And this is true when it comes to habits. If your idea was to walk a mile every day before work, great. Check that off your list. Those are habits. Those are to-dos. If your goal was run a successful sandwich restaurant in my town and you failed, but you got up every day and you went to work and you hired good people and you made really good sandwiches and the economy shifted and maybe a company that was working in your neighborhood, and so you were feeding sandwiches to them every day at lunch. Well, that company failed, and now this office park is empty, and there's not people around for sandwiches. So you think, okay, well, what's the next thing I can do? Well, maybe I'll start spending money on ads. And so you're doing that, and you keep doing it, and people just aren't coming, and you've got to lay off your staff. And it feels horrible. But now it's time for you to shutter your sandwich shop. It feels horrible and it feels like you failed. And I want you to know you haven't. You did a really, really, really hard thing and you did it to the best of your ability. And sometimes through no fault of your own, things just don't work out. They just don't work out. And I'm proud of you. And I think you're amazing. And I think you're wonderful. And sometimes things just don't work out. But I'm proud of you for having the dream. And I'm proud of you for having the perseverance. And I'm proud of you for not lying to yourself and for being honest when things don't work out and decide to pull the plug, lick your wounds, and move on. Okay, I'm going to drop a few past podcast episodes where we touch upon these things. As always, I'm a real person. Email me at any time, steph@stephanieoday.com. If you're grappling with this right now and you want to plop yourself on a calendar for a 4-free coaching call, do so, stephanieoday.com/mindset. But the past episodes, number 32, dealing with disappointment. In that episode, I give you the disappointment formula. It's a math equation. And as we all know, Steph loves mathing. But it's in that episode 32, dealing with disappointment. 88, reprogramming internal dialogue. Pay attention to the thoughts and the stories that you're telling yourself. If you are telling yourself constantly that I suck and I fail, this episode is for you because we'll reprogram a bit. 93, celebrating your wins. Even if your daydreams don't come true, there are ways to celebrate teeny tiny wins. And in this episode, I'm going to show you how to look for them, how to uncover them and discover them and then celebrate the hell out of them. 95, patience is a virtue. In this, I talk about how when I was working in a homeless shelter. I was teaching little kids patience. And so I walk you through the patience is a virtue kind of chant that I taught them and I tell myself to this day. And then number 109, I walk you through all of my publishing stories. There's been a lot of them and ups and downs and all arounds. I share failures and I share successes. I also share hard numbers in case you're interested in someday writing your own book and you wondered what those numbers look like. Okay, pretty people, as always, consider yourself loved and hugged. And I will be back in your earbuds again next week. You take care. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.